You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Helen Oyeyemi's writing has been compared to Edgar Allan Poe, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, and Toni Morrison. She wrote a first novel, The Icarus Girl, when she was just 19 years old. And in 2012, she won the Hurston Wright Legacy Award for her fourth novel, Mr. Fox. In 2013, Granta named her one of the best young British novelists. Her latest novel, her fifth, is called Boy Snow Bird. It's just been released to critical acclaim, including a front-page rave in last Sunday's New York Times Book Review. It's the story of a troubled woman who flees to a small New England town, marries and has a daughter, and then accidentally unlocks a family secret. It's published by Riverhead Books, and I'm very pleased that it brings Helen Oyeyemi to our show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Thanks for having me.
You were born in Nigeria, have lived in London, Berlin, Barcelona, now Prague, and...
I haven't lived in Barcelona.
You haven't?
I've noticed going around.
You know, you can't trust the internet. So I guess it's logical that you would set a novel in a small New England town.
Well, the great thing about fiction is that you can set it anywhere and you can do anything. And growing up, I had an imaginary Massachusetts in my head, mainly due to Loving Little Women by Louise May Alcott and being a big fan of Emily Dickinson.
But have you spent any time there?
Yes, but the whole setting of the book is an imaginary America. My heroine is running away from a terrible situation in New York, and I wanted to send her somewhere where I thought she would be safe, so I thought Massachusetts.
Did you find attitudes about race and nationality in Europe to be similar to those in the United States?
No, they're very different. I feel that passing in particular is a very American phenomenon, and is to do with, in a way, the connectedness of people of different ethnicity, the way that an American, Americans of all different skin colors are essentially the same. Like, that's how it struck me, and I was very interested in developing that idea.
Well, New York, especially, is has been called a melting pot, and probably comes the closest to being one, perhaps in the world. But in the beginning of the book, Boy, who is a young girl, lives with her abusive father, a rat catcher in New York. How did you come up with that idea of having someone work as a rat catcher?
I was watching, I somehow came across a clip of Marina Abramovitz, the conceptual artist, and she was, I think the piece is called How We Kill Rats in the Balkans, and she basically just narrates pretty much the rat catcher in the book's method of killing rats, but in this very soothing lullaby-like voice. She's wearing a white dress against a white background, and I was kind of very taken with that. And I think that fed into Boy's account of her childhood.
Well, I would ask you why you would name a woman Boy, but I'm hoping to avoid any spoilers.
Yes, we can't. I mean, you have to read the book to find out.
Yeah. But I'm sure listeners would be curious. She ends up in Flax Hill, Massachusetts, a small town that's not very welcoming. So why did she decide to stay?
She is a person who forms bonds beyond, I guess, surfaces. So she kind of tries to get beneath the surface of things. So she isn't fazed by the way that everybody is terribly unfriendly to her. She looks for other cues, almost mystical cues in a way.
And then she marries Arturo Whitman, although she doesn't seem to be in love with him. She's really more interested in his daughter, Snow. She wants to be a mother?
I don't think it's so much that she wants to be a mother, but that she has this strange view of Snow almost as an alternate version of herself, like a more cherished version of herself. She sees this little girl who's beautiful and everybody around her loves her, and it's so different from her childhood that she's drawn to Snow.
Well, the name Snow Whitman suggests that Snow White...
Yes.
Is an element in this story.
Yes, I set out wanting to make this my retelling of Snow White, and I wanted it to be my wicked stepmother story.
So where did it go off the rails? Because it isn't real. I mean, there are elements, but this is not a retelling of Snow White.
Oh, I feel like it is, but I guess it's up to the reader.
Boy befriends the high school students who come to the bookstore where she works. Were you drawing upon your own high school experiences in London when you were writing about that?
No.
You said that they were terrible in London.
Yeah. I think maybe a lot of that was just brain chemistry. Who knows? No, with this was a very full imagining, and the great thing about having these three characters was that I got to write my way into all three of them, and so all the things that they experience are, I guess, guesswork in a lot of ways of what a woman typical of in their position would experience.
And then Boy has a daughter named Bird, and that is caused a lot of trouble.
Yes, because Bird exposes the family's a pretense that the family,
the Whitman family,
has been perpetuating. Yes.
Well, you don't want to say what that is.
Well, I might as well. She.
I mean, this is early enough in the book.
Yeah, it's difficult though. It's already.
Well, anyway, it opens up matters of racism in a small town.
Yes, but also the way that social class, the connections between social class and race, so the way that you're treated by those around you and the respect and the esteem that you get based on essentially your skin color. So the Whitmans are perceived as white, but they're actually descended from black people. So they are passing and
white.
Because Bird is born dark, that opens up a lot of issues.
And then Boy sends her stepdaughter Snow away when Bird is born. How does Atura feel about that? He doesn't seem to protest much about the book.
I think one of the sad things about the story is the way that nobody seems to believe that these two sisters can be raised together, that there's no way for a girl who looks black and a girl who looks white to have sisterhood.
So does Boy fulfill the role of the wicked stepmother in the story?
I think she steps up to it. And I think that one of the things that I like about Boy as a character is that she decides that if she's going to be wicked, she wants to make good use of it in a way. She wants to unsettle other wicked people around her.
The books which you switch narrators in the book, these are female voices. In Mr. Fox, you wrote from a male perspective. Did this feel easier?
In some ways. I think the thing about writing three female voices was that you realize how much it all just comes down to character and what kind of woman you're writing. Boy doesn't like to give away much. She doesn't like to explain herself in terms of her past. She allows people to have misapprehensions of her without correcting them because she just simply doesn't care. Whereas Snow is much more eager to please, and she wants to be understood. So it really came down to an individual level, and that was trickier to pick apart.
Do you find yourself connecting with one voice over another?
I did.
Obviously, they all are coming out of you.
Yeah. I think I found it slightly easier to write Bird, maybe because she felt much more contemporary to me.
My guest is Helen Oyeyemi. Her latest book, Boy, Snow, Bird. One of her previous books, White is for Witching, won the 2010 Somerset Maugham Award. And as I said earlier, Mr. Fox won the 2012 Hurston Wright Legacy Award. This book is published by Riverhead. Most of the novels that you've written have had folkloric elements in them from around the world. Do you think that that's the way you will always approach writing?
Who knows? I feel like I have so many different things that I want to write, but there is something about folklore that draws me in. Maybe because it's pure story. I've always loved stories and have been curious about, I suppose, the technology of them, how they manage to have an effect, and such a strong effect, how they manage to seem so much like real life. And when you have a folk tale or a fairy tale, the structure of it is very, very clear, and it's easier to see into it.
So did you grow up reading fairy tales and listening to stories?
Not really. I grew up reading lots of books. I loved orphan girl books, for example. Books about girls who were alone but who managed to find their friends and managed to find their allies through their own spirit and character. So I loved all that sort of stuff. Fairy tales.
Because of your own experiences in London schools?
No, I just.
I mean, you
liked
couldn't have
them.
Been the. You couldn't have been the only child from Nigeria who was in your school.
No, I just liked the stories for themselves. But fairy tales was something that I actually started to read more of as an adult, and I started to see the meaning in them.
And Marina Warner is in it, if I remember correctly. And a number of other people have written about the significance,
yes,
the
Marina's
adult aspects
Marina
of.
Marina Warner's essays are tremendous.
So when did you encounter Snow White and the other Grimm's fairy tales?
Grimm fairy tales probably in my late teens. I started to read them and to note how different they were from the Disneyfied versions.
And they're a lot darker.
Yes, much, much darker. And they seemed more to me like real life. Like all the things that you know and can come to know about life, but in disguises.
Now, you're not the only person who ever wrote a novel before she was 19, but you're one of the rare few who actually got yours published at that time. How did that come about?
I was in my last year of sixth form, so I was 18.
That's high school in the United States?
Yes. And I wrote 20 pages of a story. It was a sort of longish short story. And I found an agent who was accepting submissions by email. He was one of maybe only three in this red book that was in the school library. And I sent him the 20 pages and said I'd written 100 pages and asked him what he thought. And he wrote back the next day and asked to see the other 80 pages. So I had to write them. And it sort of grew out of that.
Uh-huh. So you were actually forced by that to become a serious novelist.
Yeah, basically.
What might have happened, it's very likely that you would have been turned down. Have you ever wondered about that? What
yes,
your life would be
but
like?
I think I would have still been trying. I think I would still be trying if I hadn't.
And then after you were published, did you feel, well, now I have to keep on doing this?
No, it's good in that I get to write what I feel like writing. So if I didn't have ideas, I wouldn't write.
Well, they seem to obviously be coming fast and furious. This is your fifth novel in, what, 10 years?
Let's see. Icarus Girl came out in 2006. I'm not very good at numbers.
Well, okay. Well, 8 years.
Yes.
And it is called Boy Snow Bird. Have you been getting the same kinds of fabulous reviews in England that you got here?
The English reviews are coming in slowly, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to have been thrilled when you saw your book on the front page of the New York Times Book Review.
That was such a surprise.
Helen Oyeyemi's novel, Boy Snow Bird, is published by Riverhead Books in this country. And it's been a great pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you.